Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Right now, we're always love talking baseball with Jason Stark from The Athletic and the MLB Network. Jason, what's going on this morning?
Kevin, Mark, how are you guys?
Oh, we're great. We're great. Trevor Story hit 1,300 feet worth of home runs last night in Denver. What, was the humidor not working out there? What was going on?
Hey, this just in. Trevor Story is pretty good. That was one of the great games you'll ever see, right? It's three home run game, off the same pitcher, longest home run ever measured by StatCast. All three homers tied the game or put his team ahead, and on one of them, he fell down. Pretty good.
He did. He swung so hard, he ended up on the ground. One thing about that ballpark, Jason, if you've been there, you know, it's the field is gigantic, isn't it? That's one thing you just don't get watching it on TV.
No, that's true. And, you know, people talk all the time about Coors as an offensive haven. And really, that's the biggest reason, is that the field is so gigantic that the gaps are huge, the open spaces are plentiful, and there are a lot of hits waiting out there that are not home runs.
There can't be very many people who enjoy playing and being around baseball more than Brandon Phillips does. He hit that home run in Atlanta yesterday. What does this say about him and other kind of, you know, players like him, that they're willing to hang with it in the minors to get another shot at being in the big leagues?
Yeah, Brandon Phillips loves to play. And, you know, it's a guy, it looked like he might be done, right? He sat home through all of spring training, through April into May, finally gets a job, and spends the entire season in the minor leagues. A lot of guys in his position would have quit. A lot of guys in his position would have sulked. He didn't do any of that. And, I mean, this is one of the great entrances in Red Sox history, right? to come in there and your very first game with the Red Sox, two outs in the ninth inning, hit a go-ahead home run that rescues your team from losing in one of the craziest games of the year. Brandon Phillips has fun, and he really had fun yesterday.
Yeah, and not only that, it was in his hometown against the team, you know, he played for just last season. You wrote about Cleveland's Cody Allen and Andrew Miller in your Labor Day column a couple days ago. Do you feel like their workload over the last few seasons has finally caught up with them?
I think that's always been the fear with this Indians bullpen. You know, those two guys have combined for over 500 innings over the last 4 years. And I mean, what have we seen this year? Cody Allen, since the start of June, has almost a 5.5 ERA, and has given up 9 home runs in 35 innings. Andrew Miller just can't get back on the field, can't stay healthy. And, you know, this happens. Teams like this, they have one of the best bullpens in the game. It's hard for the manager to resist going to his best guys. They play deep in October, year after year. So those games, there's a special emphasis on getting your best relievers into the game, often for multiple innings, especially in Andrew Miller's case. And you just have to wonder if the workload has taken its toll. And the biggest question is this, I think. Look, you got to love the Indians' rotation as they head into October. But what really got them to the World Series 2 years ago was one of the best bullpens in the game. And if they cannot get the bullpen fixed and get those two guys in particular straightened out between now and the start of the postseason, I think they're in trouble.
Yeah, there were a lot of seven-inning games there a couple of years ago. One more for me, Jason. Yesterday was Roberto Clemente Day. You know, 46 years after his death, what stands out about the impact that he had on Latin players and really the game in general, and he still does?
Yeah, well, I'm glad you asked that. I got to host a conversation that aired yesterday with Pedro Martinez and Harold Reynolds about Roberto Clemente. And I was blown away by the reverence that, I mean, to be honest, they both had for Clemente, but especially Pedro. Now, Pedro was not born in Puerto Rico, right? Roberto Clemente is a national hero in Puerto Rico. Kids learn about him in school. You know, elementary school, they start teaching you about the great Clemente. That's not the case in the Dominican. But Pedro really wanted to make the point that this was a man who was a role model for all Latinos. You know, we now have more than a dozen Latin American players in the Hall of Fame. The very first was Clemente. And it wasn't just Clemente, the baseball player, that made him an icon. It was Clemente the man, and Clemente the guy who on New Year's Eve decided it was more important to fly to Nicaragua to help those in need than it was to stay home and celebrate the New Year's with his family. That's a lesson that I think should resonate with not just Latino players, but all players. I think many of them do not realize that you can leave as big a legacy off the field as on the field.
Jason, does J.D. Martinez have a chance to be the most unlikely triple, or at least maybe unique, triple crown winner in baseball history, given his route to the Red Sox in the offseason?
Well, you wouldn't ordinarily have a triple crown winner who signs in March. I guess that part of it's true, but I don't think anything about this guy is a fluke. Now, he's never hit 335 before, and he's probably going to have to do that if he's going to win the triple crown. But, you know, back when he was with the Astros, he was just a young player. I mean, I remember Brad Mills talking about him. This is after his first full season, and he used that expression, when he hits the ball, it stays hit. I always loved that one.
You think last night Aaron Boone was thinking of giving Gary Sanchez the hook in the first inning? Two pass balls, two wild pitches that could have been pass balls. I can't remember, Jason, a catcher whose weakness was catching the ball, because he throws nicely, but he has a real hard problem keeping the ball in front of him.
He's got 13 pass balls, and think about all the time he's missed. I agree. A catcher who can't catch the ball is a problem. I don't care how good a hitter you are. Their team is not constructed for him to DH full time. I'm not sure how they handle this. He's got it seems like he's especially got problems with Severino. You know, they had a dugout shouting match earlier in the season. The way Severino talked about last night, some of this was about the fact that Sanchez uses a different set of signs than Austin Romine, whom he's been throwing to, and there were a bunch of cross-ups in that inning. But that can't happen. Two wild pitches and two pass balls in one inning, that can't happen. And who's going to start the wild card game for the Yankees? There's a really good chance it's going to be Luis Severino. Can they afford to have Gary Sanchez catch that game?
I would say no. And we've been talking about this, I know, for a few weeks. But I've been watching baseball for about 50 years. Yeah, I'll age myself here. I don't know if I've ever seen anybody have a season so unique like Jacob DeGrom in terms of one loss record and actual ERA and other stats.
I this is like an all-timer. Right. Last time I looked, he had, I think it was 16 games of one earned run or none. That's wrong. It's 12 games of one earned run or none that he hasn't won. His last six starts, in three of them, he drove in the only run that was scored by the Mets while he was in the game. I know that this is turning into a referendum on the win, but I think this is almost like a separate phenomenon. You know, the reason the win is devalued is that pitchers don't stay out there long enough to win these games. That's not his issue. We're talking about a guy who's averaging almost seven innings a start, has a 1.6 ERA, and has eight wins. That's almost impossible. And so it's time for a whole different debate. This is one of the most fascinating and unique seasons in the history of baseball.
And finally, was D. Gordon at least, should he be lauded for being polite when he politely asked the media to leave the clubhouse so he could brawl with Gene Segura? Seattle Mariners, pretty active there in the clubhouse.
Yeah. Well, if his strategy was, could you guys please leave so you won't find out about this brawl we're supposed to have, we're about to have? And that didn't work. And that's what separated this fight from most baseball clubhouse fights is I think there are actually a lot of them. Just the media doesn't find out about them because they don't spill out into the hallway while the media is out there. And that was the big mistake. It was a really good idea to ask people to leave. It was a really bad idea to have the fight take place outside the manager's office.
Yeah, we're getting ready to duke it out here. If you guys wouldn't mind, clearing out.
Yeah. Good try. Excellent try.
Yeah. Jason, great stuff as always. Thank you very much.
All right, guys. Have fun. Thanks.
Okay, we'll see you.